In the order of service today, you'll find the text of Psalm 19. It's the psalm that, among others, C.S. Lewis called one of the most magnificent in the entire Psalter. A remarkable text. The text, as it's printed, is divided into three parts, and I invite those of you on the south side to read part one with me. We could call you the general revelation readers today. Those of you on the north side to read part two with me, the special revelation readers. I'll read the third part myself. It's a quieter voice, reflective, taking in the message of the first two parts. The word of the Lord, Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has sent a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honey. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It truly is a magnificent psalm. It occurred to me this week that it might rank near the top of the psalms most quoted list. I think of all the cards in Christian bookstores, stars, the heavens declare the glory of God. And think of the thousands of ministers who will, this coming Sunday, before they preach, pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. These are beautiful verses, they're beautiful melodies, but they become even more poignant to us in our own spiritual life today when we put them together as part of the whole. The melody's there at the beginning, the melody from the end, part of a sound that is like a symphony, really, when we see how the parts of it work together. Part one, you might wish to follow with me as I make a few brief comments, is, as I've already said, a kind of general revelation theme song. The heavens are telling the glory of God. We can see it right through these windows in this space if we have eyes to see. Day to day pours forth speech, even in Grand Rapids, especially this April. Oh, to be sure, there's no literal speech that we see when we look at the beauty of creation, but believe me, the eloquence of creation speaks so loudly of God's beauty and glory, if only we have ears to hear. Consider especially, as the psalm does, the sunshine, which, of course, we've seen more of in the last 10 days than in the entire months of January and February put together. Praise God. That sun dancing across the skies this week has been beaming like some people just back from their honeymoon. laughing and dancing and warming this earth and calling forth all of those beautiful lime green leaves, which in their own way testify to the beauty and glory of God. Of course, all of this reveling in creation is not just reveling in creation in and of itself. It's not just enjoying nature. It's a matter of perceiving in nature God's own beauty. It's the heavens declare the glory of God. And so all week long, it's not been good enough quite, I think, for us to simply say, what fabulous weather for us to enjoy. But rather to see in it, what a beautiful testimony again to the lavish, sheer goodness of God. Nature's own beauty does flood our senses, and I hope and pray it does for all of us all summer long. But our souls attach not just to the colors, but we see through them to perceive the glory and beauty of God. Then part two of the psalm, second side there. As I've already said, it could be called a special revelation theme song. The law of the Lord, the very thing we study here at CTS, is perfect. In fact, it is nothing less than soul-reviving. It brings us back to life again, says translator Calvin Sierwald. It's a beautiful line. The decrees of the Lord there, which is really the ultimate curriculum for us at Calvin Seminary, make wise even all of us who are simple, inexperienced. Praise God for that. The precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. They make us brim over with joy, just like the sun. The commandments of the Lord are clear. They are as luminous as the sun. The Hebrew text picks up the echo of that luminous imagery from the first part of the psalm, enlightening the eyes. And just imagine, every day in this place, every time we meet in this chapel, and every class in this place, we have the privilege, we need to remind ourselves again, of opening up a revelation, opening up a book that is as sweet as honey. And not just any honey, but the drippings of a honeycomb. This is the natural, fresh honey. For those of us urban dwellers, this is not Meyer brand. This is the organic stuff that you save for special occasions. But then part three, the psalmist turns the attention from this external beauty of creation, from the remarkable life-giving beauty of God's word, and the attention moves inward. And what emerges is a kind of quiet poise, a kind of repose. You know, says the psalmist, these laws are such a gift to us. They can warn us of things that might hurt us. They are truly good. We must never think of them as a burden. You know, says the psalmist, by ourselves we can't discern our own errors. We truly need a wisdom from beyond us. And then it turns to a prayer. O God, clear me even from hidden faults. O God, in light of your revelation, don't let my self-confidence push me around. Keep me from the insolent. And then, O God of the rejoicing creation and the life-giving law, may the meditations of even the innermost parts of my heart be acceptable to you, for you are my Redeemer. In the three parts of this psalm, we find a beautiful, balanced recipe for a biblical spirituality. Celebrate creation, especially in April. Savor God's word, but then do not fail to turn in quiet, introspective, soul-searching prayer. In other words, don't keep this beauty, this goodness at an arm's length, but take it in deep inside. And let it burn away all bits of arrogance and cynicism that may be creeping in. I'd like to end with a bit of a personal reflection. It's occurred to me in talking with some friends recently that every line of work has its own risks. And being a seminary faculty member or a seminary student is no exception. There is, I've been thinking this week, such a risk for us of taking for granted the sweetness, the goodness of the word that we open each day. And with the territory of theological studies, there are some dispositions that creep in so easily, a kind of insidious little edge of cynicism that creeps in, or just a little arrogance, or just a little self-centeredness. And this psalm has struck me this week as such a beautiful antidote for anybody who teaches at a seminary, studies at a seminary, or is thinking about studying at a seminary. And so my prayer for you and my prayer for myself is that God's Spirit will give us each the kind of space and imagination to perceive in all this beauty around us God's goodness. That kind of wonder burns away cynicism. And I pray for myself and for all of us the opportunity to truly taste the sheer goodness of God's revelation, and then to let all of that seep deep inside of us and to burn away any of the kind of spiritual sludge we may be dealing with now. May God's Spirit minister to each of us in powerful ways in this day and as we draw to the close of this semester.